Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudirayet. Lasa Preshu Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Sloke. Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. Reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 1, Text Number 17, entitled The Curse Upon the Yadu Dynasty. Vimucha sahasodaram sambasya dadush tasmin mushkalam ka kalvayasmayam Mushalam kalvayasmayam tat shrutva te hi santrasta vimucya sahasodaram sambasya dadush tasmin Mushalam kavasvas ayasmayam. Tashudra te ti santrasta. Vimucha sahasodaram. Sambasyada dushtasmin. Mushalam kalvayasmayam. Tachudra te ti santrusta. Vimucha sahasodaram. Sambasya dadush tasmin mushalam kalvayasmayam. Anyone else? Sashutva teti santusha vimucha sasodaram. Sambasya tadushasmin Bhushalam kavayasmayam Tat that Shutva having heard Te they Ati santrastaha extremely afraid. Vimucha uncovering. Sahasta. I'm sorry, Sahasa. Hastily. Udaram. The belly. Sambhasya. Of Samba. Dadrishuhu. They saw. Tasmin. Within it. Bhushalam. A club. Kalu. Indeed. Ayam. Made of iron. Translation and purport by the disciples of... Wait, I guess this is by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Upon hearing the curse of the sages, the terrified boys quickly uncovered the belly of Samba. Indeed, they observed that therein was an iron club. Please repeat. Upon hearing the curse of the sages, the terrified boys quickly uncovered the belly of Samba. Indeed, they observed that therein was an iron club. Purport by the devotees. Upon hearing the words of the Vaishnavas headed by Narad, the Adu boys lifted the garment covering Samba's abdomen and saw the fruit of the offense they had committed against Vaishnavas by their deceit. An actual club was there to destroy their dynasty. This example shows that in a polluted society, the club of duplicity can never bring the peace found in the society of devotees. Rather, such duplicity smashes all the non-devotional activities and whimsical doctrines of the pseudo-devotees. The Yadu boys were wary about jeopardizing their advanced position, and indeed have been thinking that as long as they kept their trickery concealed, others would never be able to detect such sophisticated cheating. Nonetheless, they were unable to protect their family from the reaction of their grievous offense against the devotees of the Lord. Om anjana timanandasya gananjana sulakaya chakshur militam hena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri taitanya manobhistam sapitam hena bhutale svayamu pakadamayam dadati svapanantikam namo om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale Shrimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Niti Namane Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gurvani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarne Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we've had this wonderful kirtan festival and have been absorbing ourselves in the holy name as best we can. with all the sincerity that we can. In the association of many devotees that are more advanced than us or inspiring us in various ways. But this verse today and this section of the Bhagavatam is a very instructive or whatever, but it warns us about whimsical behavior or offensive behavior, Vaishnava aparad, and this can undermine a lot of the devotional service that we're doing. Of course, devotional service is never lost, but there can be there are enough obstacles externally to us that just by having a birth in the material world, it's difficult enough to chant purely and surrender fully to Krishna without shooting ourselves in the foot, so to speak, by creating our own obstacles or offenses. So this was a pastime of Krishna, but it's very instructive how these boys, dress up one of their friends, a boy, to look like a girl, and they put a pillow or something in underneath his sari, and pretended like it was a pregnant girl. They went before the sages at Prabhas Kshetra, I think it was, and they were kind of very impudent, and they basically they said, "Can you sages are supposed to be all knowing and Trikala Gyan, knowing the past, present, and future, and so just tell us if the child of this pregnant girl will be a boy or a girl or whatever." So the sages saw through this ruse, and it's a kind of the Yadu dynasty had been very powerful and had conquered the world, and sometimes with power comes pride and some kind of lack of sensitivity or humility. So these Yadus, rather than being grateful to the Supreme Lord for purifying and protecting their dynasty, and they were impudent and proud, and they didn't act soberly. So it was nice when Nityananda Prabhu mentioned it, even in throwing the flowers, one should be kind of respectful, and one can use just like at the holy festival in Vrindavan, sometimes people will throw powder right in your face or be very little insensitive. So as devotees, we can take a lot of instruction from these parts of the Bhagavatam, which show, there are many instances in the Bhagavatam which show problems or mistakes. And there's always a lesson of how to see these instances in a Krishna conscious way. I remember when, before I was a devotee, I was in the Transcendental Meditation Movement, and I did that for quite a few years. They always said that if you're making spiritual advancement, everything will go smooth for you. You know, the laws of nature will support your activities. You won't be sick as much. You won't make mistakes. You'll get financial, economic development, and everything goes more smoothly by spiritual life or meditation or whatever. But I remember when I first started coming around the temple in Los Angeles, at some point I got a magazine which had an article on Queen Kunti, and it had the prayer of Queen Kunti. And having been, kind of had this philosophy that spiritual life means everything goes good, I was kind of shocked by this prayer of Queen Kunti, which she prayed for calamities to come, for trouble to come, because she wanted just to be always dependent on Krishna's protection. She felt that in the troubles, when there were calamities, she would be more humble and more forced to surrender to Krishna. So I was struck by this. I thought, it's a very noble idea to even welcome trouble if it will help our Krishna consciousness, but I didn't think I could do that myself. But I actually was so impressed by this prayer that I kind of memorized the sloka, and a kind of a melody game, so I used to sometimes sing it. Vipada santu tashra shrat tatra tatra jagaturo bhavato darshana yasayat apunar bhava darshanam. She says that she gets Bhagavad darshan, she gets the darshan of Krishna, and she won't take the darshan, she won't have this vision of so many material births. So trouble, for a devotee, trouble is like the Grateful Dead people say, it's all good, brother. But for devotees, devotees see, it's kind of a, they're trying to enjoy their senses, so they have this all good, brother or sister philosophy. But it's kind of an artificial, all good is all that's good. But for a devotee, it's all good. Everything that happens to a devotee is good because everything is arranged by Krishna, except our own offenses and foolish quests to become Krishna ourselves. But at least as devotees, we've made the decision at some point to try to reverse this as a mistaken mentality, trying to lord it over the material world. So when we make that first step to Krishna, we're gradually less under the Mahamaya of Krishna and more under the Yogamaya. So even when something goes wrong, in this case, the burden of the world had, in terms of the demoniac kings, had been relieved through the battle of Kurukshetra. But just the power and material success of the Adus was, as we see here, it could potentially affect their devotional mood. So Krishna arranged for this incident to happen, because there's a saying that power corrupts, and so in this case, for the Krishna, his pastimes were coming to an end, and this incident happened to help wind up the Adi dynasty, and Krishna left and so many of them left. So, there's a saying in the Bhagavatam, Yashyaham Anugami Harishe Tad Dhanamshanai, that when the Lord is especially favorable to one, he may take away material opulences or material comforts or material success of the devotee. This is very different from what I learned, but unfortunately, we sometimes have to be chastened by the Supreme Lord in such a way. But devotees, like yesterday, we visited Gunagari Maharaj, who has quite serious cancer. But he just looked very beautiful. He had his kind of humorous, kind of deadpan kind of humor was still sort of there, and his body is very uncomfortable. But he was understanding that at some level he was understanding that this is Krishna's arrangement. And although there's some stages of denial when something goes wrong and being upset about it, devotees of his caliber are also able to see the silver lining. And I remember Srila Tamalkrishmar, Srila Gurudev, wrote a paper after his surgery in Dallas, and part of the surgery was botched. So many problems happened, but on a material level, it was disaster, you know, in different ways. But in his paper, he wrote at the end of the paper, he said that even though it was such a bad thing, a horrendous experience, it brought out so much love with the devotees who served him and helped him at that time. And it brought out love from them, and he felt love for them. And that love was so deep and endearing to his heart that in retrospect, after this horrendous experience, he said, I would go through it all over again because of the love that was generated by this experience. Of course, there was other emotions that were generated through it too that made it hard for the devotees that were serving him closely. But I was amazed to read that. For someone, he was very sensitive to pain and sensitive to noise, sensitive to smells. So he must have felt a lot of discomfort through that surgery and the various stages it went through. But just like Queen Kunti, he saw some good in the calamity that he went through. So for devotees, to the extent that we're Krishna conscious, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, the whole universe can be Sukhayate, full of joy and pleasure. And even pain, even in loving dealing, sometimes lovers will bite each other's skin and a little bit of pain is there mixed with the pleasure of their relationship. So Prabhupada, I think, once said that someone that's a good business person can make money even when there's a depression, or when the economy, there's a recession or depression, or the economy goes down. Someone can sell begging bowls or something like that and make $1 million. So the devotee is challenged, we're all challenged to see even trouble as an opportunity to surrender more to Krishna. And if we're very advanced, Krishna may give us a lot of success because he trusts that we'll use it in the right way. But for many of us, if we had too much success, just like the Yadus had so much success, that they became a little bit bewildered by the material comfort zone that was established by their power, their sovereignty over the world. So Unfortunately, many of us need some little bit of material distress from now and then to help us, help chasten us, and help keep us realizing that everything is depending on Krishna's mercy. So in this verse, the boy's mood changed very quickly. One, just a little while before, they were very frivolous and thinking that they were making the sadhus look bad or pulling a joke on the sadhus. And then in this verse it's described that they were atisantrastaha, extremely afraid. So fear is not bad, even pain is not bad. Because if we have no fear of offenses, then we'll... of course, some religions, are the fear aspect is excessive. Like some religious traditions, they, you know, the chastisement of the Lord is quite strong. So, but a little bit of fear, like Prabhupada said, a chaste lady is afraid to be disloyal to her husband or to be unchaste, so she dresses fairly modestly and, you know, acts in a class with some dignified restraint and, you know, certain, whereas someone that's not as careful can act in the wrong way and become entangled in so many unnecessary situations. So a little bit of fear is good. Even pain, like pain is a signal that something is wrong. And pain is actually a mechanism in the body that helps to heal. Like if you stub your toe and it's bleeding, a little bit of pain, it's like a little... like, you know, when there's an ambulance warns people of a dangerous situation and people will stop and the ambulance can go quicker to the hospital. So pain is a signal in the body that tells if you've hurt your toe, there's pain in that area, and then the more energy is mobilized to help heal that injury to the toe. So pain, if you don't feel like it's... Imagine you're cooking and you're listening to a kirtan or something and you put your hand in the fire on the stove. If there was no pain, you would leave the hand in the fire much longer than necessary. So you get injured worse. So that pain is actually a signal to pull our hand out of the fire. So troubles for devotees... Devotees are, as Maharaj said recently, either yesterday or the day before, that Krishna says, I have my plan, you have your plan, and Krishna has his plan. So if our plan is somehow different or deviant away from the will of the Lord, we'll experience some pain or some discomfort or some problem. Just as the Yadu boys, one minute they were blissful, and then the next minute they were afraid. They realized they made a terrible offense. And in this pastime, the offense, it manifests as an iron club. I am. A club made of iron. So there can be nothing more solid and tangible than an iron club. Of course, when we make an offense, it's sort of invisible. We don't see the tangible result of the offense. But in this pastime, the club is like iron. So they have to come. This club is a symbol of the curse on the Yadu dynasty, which will end up destroying. They'll destroy themselves. And they try to get rid of the club. And I think as we read the next few passages, they try to grind the club up and get rid of the offense. So that's a material method of trying to deal with a mistake that was made. So there's so many material ways that we can try to cover over an offensive mentality which leads to problems. But the ultimate solution is to change our consciousness, not to try to hide our mistakes or make material arrangements that will skirt the problem. The problem is our consciousness. The problem is that we're not Krishna conscious, we're not we're not as humble as a tree, void of false prestige. We're not able to give honor to others. And we expect and hope for honor for ourselves. So unfortunately, we need some chastisement from time to time. And it usually has a good effect. So even though these boys are now in great fear, they realize they've made a mistake. And realizing we're wrong, we made a mistake, is the first step in rectification. But if we don't understand that we're going the wrong direction, like if you make a wrong turn on the road, the longer it takes before you realize you made the mistaken turn, the bigger the deviation is. So we try to see the silver lining as devotees. We're not in a bubble of, like devotees will sometimes get sick or they may have problems in different types. But they realize that they're in the right situation. Like you're in the airplane and you're going to the right destination, but you may have some illness or some. So if we understand that Krishna is God and that our duty and nature is to serve the Supreme Lord, that's the beginning. That's sambandha. We understand our relationship and our situation. Then if we have that right understanding, we can develop the means to develop that relationship. And so I didn't know I would give class, so just a few minutes before, so maybe that's I can end a little early. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
So that's my question.
Well, there's a saying, spare the rod and spoil the child.
But now we're talking about an entire race being destroyed. Because a kid was dressed like a woman joking about a pillow on.
Yeah, but it's a very small offense, seemingly, but it's the seed of a certain mentality which is very serious. To joke about, to disrespect elders is described as one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And certainly the sages are more than just physiological elders. They're respectable devotees. So even though it seemed like their curses, like Narada Muni when he cursed Nalakavera and Manigriva, they were also a little bit, their offense might seem more obvious. They were naked and enjoying with, you know, ladies and things like that without any shame. But they were actually benefited by the curse. This is a pastime of Krishna, so it may seem excessive, but it was Krishna's will that the pastimes of the Adus were wound up. They were eternal servants, eternal associates of the Lord. So, just like Lord Chaitanya gave the example of, he chastised Junior Haridas just for, you know, he was a good devotee, but he looked in the wrong way at a lady or something. So it may seem excessive, because it's described that the Kali Yuga mental offense is not as bad as actually doing something. But just to show the example of the importance of nipping something in the bud, just the wrong turn starts with a very small thought that's wrong, and we can go in the wrong direction. So, yes, Mataji. I think a general theme in the Vedic literature that when sages curse, sometimes they might seem excessive, but usually there's some benefit for the person that gets cursed spiritually. So the pride of the boys was certainly curbed by this. And like, there is sometimes too much liberal, like some liberal parents don't give guidelines, or they let their kids run free, and their small mistakes grow into bigger deviations for the kids. So there's some kind of modern parents that don't correct their children, and they believe that freedom is the best teacher. And but so Prabhupada sometimes said, spoil the rod, spoil the child, spare the rod and spoil the child. So it's just one way of looking at it. I accept your point.
That's my question.
Well, the whole thing is that they're dear to Krishna and they're going to leave with him and their eternal associates. So part of the whole situation was to quick, as Manji said, to quickly move the pastime on. And so it's kind of like these pastimes. Like one time I was going to college and took this course, and this teacher wanted to do a writing exercise, because when somebody sees something, there's many different perspectives. So she asked me to throw a temper tantrum the next day in class. She gave some papers back. So I was a very quiet person in the class, so she picked me. So I decided to, I had a book, and when I got my paper, I said, what is this, a B minus? I can't believe it. And I took a book and I threw it at the teacher, but I aimed it over her head. So it was just a pastime. The teacher created this pastime, which is a kind of a material, it's similar to, gave me an insight into Krishna's leelas, where it was she knew what was happening, I knew what was happening, but everyone else took it in a different light. So I stormed out of the class, and she followed me as if she was angry. Then she said, that was good, that was too good. You almost hit my head. So to the people in the class, the other students, it looked like that I had made a serious offense, and the teacher was very angry at me. And but from the standpoint of what actually the real situation, deeper, was that it was a kind of a joke on the students. And then I stayed outside. She came back and she said, "I want you to write your impression of what happened," or something like that. They wrote the paper, and then I came back later. So, Krishna's will is supreme, and you're right that they were loving servants of Krishna. And just like in a drama, the director of the drama can have the players play different roles, but they're all friends. If so, in the drama, they may look like enemies, or they may look like a burden or a problem. So I didn't mean to make that point, like as you said, so I think I accept your more balanced understanding. Yeah, this is the way the pastime is, that for kind of envious kind of people, they'll have that conclusion. Or the way that Krishna leaves, you know, he has some injury to his foot with an arrow, and, you know, so people that are materialistic will see Krishna just as an ordinary person, whereas devotees will realize it is a pastime. And, you know, Krishna allows people to have their own interpretation. We all have free will and a certain mentality that Krishna allows, you know, to go. So that's why it's important to read these books and understand the Vaishnava, understanding the perspective, the devotional perspective, or else not the philosophical. I got devotee who, anyway, so thank you very much. Kantrashni Bhagavatam Ki, Gaurabhaktivinoda Ki.